Pop Culture Pastor.
So, Cody, there's apparently this was a thing in eras past. Some people have been buried after they've died and had a request that that some recipe be placed on their gravestone. Like maybe they were known for it. Like, you know, like if your grandma ever had that secret, super secret ultra recipe. My grandma had lots of secret recipes that she wouldn't share with her kids. And now my family all tries endlessly to recreate them and test it out on like us grandchildren. And it's always so fun to be like, nah, man, this ain't it. Something's wrong. We did find out the secret ingredient to one of my grandma's dishes was ranch, because of course.
Ranch goes good in a lot of things, so.
It's like we were like, yeah, that's it. That's it. You nailed it. It was the ranch. That was a potato salad, by the way. But there are still several things. But apparently some people were so proud of some dish they made that it was a thing to have a recipe put on your gravestone.
Like engraved on the gravestone?
Yes.
That's bananas.
Now, I wouldn't have known anything about this, but I was reading this story about Naomi Miller Dawson. She's a young lady from Brooklyn, New York. And she came across her first gravestone recipe. Now, she's documenting all this on TikTok, by the way, because that's what you do. But she came across this recipe for a spritz cookie. The gravestone was old. She didn't even know what a spritz cookie was.
Me either.
So she tried to make the spritz cookie, but only the ingredients were engraved, not the instructions. She said, I definitely made a lot of mistakes. I'd never heard of a spritz cookie before, but she figured it out, and it was really good, apparently. So now she's doing this thing on her TikTok where she's traveling around trying to find these old gravestones that have recipes on them. Apparently she's found 11 so far in the United States, 2 in Israel.
Wow.
So, you know, that's kind of cool. One that's a cemetery adjacent. It wasn't the recipe wasn't on the gravestone. It was in Texas. A woman was buried in Texas and her grave referenced how she made the best meatloaf, and the cemetery actually sent her the meatloaf recipe. They had it.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it was there, like, you know, they just hand out tracts with the meatloaf recipe on it. That's part of the contract. I don't know how that works, but.
Does she share the recipes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So she says they're all to die for. We need to work on the puns, the dad jokes. That one's bad. But yeah, she started this project where she's tracking down graves with recipes on them. She said she's just got plane tickets to go to Seattle. There's one that's like an hour south of Seattle that I'm hoping to visit around Thanksgiving because it's a glazed blueberry pie recipe. And holy goodness, I'm in. Glazed blueberry pie sounds like everything I didn't know I needed.
I want to know, what is glazed blueberry pie?
Well, it sounds like it has lots of sugar.
Which I'm here for that.
I am here for. More, I will have some glazed blueberry pie, please. So this young lady who's going around on her TikTok channel and making recipes that she's found engraved on tombstones. So apparently some people in days of yore had recipes they were so proud of that they had them engraved on their tombstone. She's gotten a few messages from some people who think the project is inappropriate.
What?
I know. I'm just... If you print it on your tombstone, you're kind of saying to the world, I want you to remember this about me.
I want you to have delicious food for generations to come.
Like, it's already... The glazed blueberry pie has apparently already been lost to time. Let's not lose it again. Right? I don't understand the inappropriateness part. That was a weird flex by people. But, you know, people will complain about mostly anything these days. But she said she's been contacted by a lot of families that are thrilled that their relative is being remembered for the dish they were best known for. She says it's a really lovely way to think about celebrating someone rather than being really sad. Now, Cody, here's the real question. What recipe would be on your tombstone?
Oh,
I might just put the phone number for Domino's. Or just take like the instructions off a Kraft mac and cheese box. Yeah, you should just put that on my gravestone. That'll work.
Kind of surprised it's not the phone number for Schlotsky's. Yeah. Or what the special Dave sandwich is.
Well, yeah, but you don't, the joke doesn't work because you don't call in a Schlotsky's order. You just go get a Schlotsky sandwich.
Any Schlotsky sandwich, or is there a special Schlotsky sandwich?
Well, they have many good sandwiches, but I'm a fan of the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's something that I actually make, I do make this lemon blueberry dessert. That is,
I was not expecting to hear that.
That is delightful, but it's really simple. And then if it's not, it would be the instructions off the back of Velveeta shells and cheese, because that's high end. That's fancy.
When my son is old and gray and passes away, it'll just be a package of ramen. What say you, dear listener, if you were leaving a super secret recipe that you had ownership of, or, you know, whatever it would be for you, what recipe would be on your tombstone if this was a bigger thing nowadays? Like a bean burrito from Taco Bell? let us know. All right, welcome back. I wanted to talk about, there's a new word of the year.
Oh, snap.
Apparently, Merriam-Webster, they've been printing dictionaries for a long time, and they think that they can dictate to us what the word of the year is. No, I'm just kidding.
You get out of here, Merriam.
They add terms to their dictionary all the time based on usage. And this word was one that they decided that the usage of such has dictated that they add this one to the dictionary. And if you're on Twitter or places where people argue a lot, you're going to be familiar with this term. The term is gaslighting.
I have seen this phrase a time or two.
Now, Cody, I'm curious if you can define gaslighting for me. It doesn't matter if you're wrong, because I think Merriam-Webster's wrong. but go ahead. If you know what gaslighting is, or what your understanding of it is.
Gaslighting to me would probably be closer to, like, I don't want to say virtue signaling, but like kind of creating and adding flame to an issue that might not be to that extent. So I'm probably way off. But no, like, I'm like,
well, you're definitely not off on how they're defining it.
Oh, okay. Sweet. So, Merriam and I are in the same ballpark.
So, like, their whole thing is in this age of misinformation, of fake news, conspiracy theories, that they believe that gaslighting has emerged as a word for our time. It's why they're saying it's the word of the year. It's a driver of disorientation and mistrust, and this is their definition for it. Gaslighting is the act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage.
Okay, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, like,
we are in the same ballpark.
That's sure. A very broad term.
Yeah.
Now, the weird thing is I remember the first time I heard the term a few years back. I looked it up.
Okay.
And it has a very ultra-specific origin, which was the way I understood the word.
Okay.
But it's not, they have made it a more broad definition. And I'm going to say, I don't like it. Because I feel like the way they're defining it is the way people do use it, which is as a broad excuse to never have to check themselves.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That's awesome. yeah. Do you even know who's saying that?
No.
Was that no, that wasn't them. It was Foo Schnickens, right? Anyways,
you say so.
That's from the old days. That's neither here nor there. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you the problem I have with Merriam-Webster's definition of gaslighting and making it the word of the year. All right, welcome back. I want to talk about this. Merriam-Webster has made the term gaslighting their word of the year, adding it to the dictionary. And their definition, the act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage. And they've led off with this with the introduction of in this age of misinformation, fake news, and conspiracy theories, right? It's just an act or practice of trying to mislead someone for someone's own advantage, lying to them or trying to make them believe something that, according to you, is not true. That's gaslighting, according okay. to Merriam-Webster. Now, would you like to know where the term comes from?
I would love to.
Okay. The term comes from the title of a 1938 play called Gaslight.
That's a few years back.
Mm-hmm. And there was a movie based on the play. The plot involves a man attempting to make his wife believe that she's going insane. He's dimming the gaslights. But then when she says something about it, he says, "You're imagining it. They're not dimming," over and over again. This keeps happening. So the term gaslighting specifically meant trying to fool someone into thinking they're going crazy.
Ooh.
By you're manipulating events with the specific intent of saying to them, "You're imagining it." That's gaslighting. Okay. Which is the yeah. way I initially understood the phrase of gaslighting, because people do that. And it's usually, yeah. listen, it takes relationship to be able to do that. Right. I almost always heard this in the confines of a relationship such as marriage or a very intimate, close relationship.
Yeah.
That's where gaslighting could take place. So that's very specific. Now, here's the problem I have with making that more broad. Let's go back to Merriam-Webster. So once again, gaslighting term, very specific, comes from a 1938 play called Gaslight, in which a husband is trying to convince his wife that she's imagining him secretly dimming the lights occasionally.
And yet he really is.
Yeah. So he's trying to make her think she's going crazy. That's called gaslighting. Now, back to the Merriam-Webster definition. The act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage. And they introed it with, in this age of misinformation, fake news, and conspiracy theories. Let me tell you what is happening by them changing the definition of what it initially was. And I know words change over time, that happens. But let me tell you specifically what's happening here. Because they didn't highlight fake news and conspiracy theories on accident.
Mm.
My claim is that Merriam-Webster, these makers of dictionary, they're gaslighting you. By changing the definition of gaslighting, they're literally gaslighting.
Ooh.
It's clearly a half view of our political situation.
Mm.
And yes, because first of all, conspiracy theories largely in our culture are conservative nowadays. There's much more conspiracy theories on the conservative side. And fake news in the culture, if you ask people out in the world, most people would respond by saying it's conservative news is the fake news. There's far fewer people, except for, you know, in Republican areas, that will say like fake news is the mainstream stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Merriam-Webster has a, they have a bent to what they're saying here. And by changing the terminology of gaslighting to be just like anyone that you disagree with that's trying to convince you otherwise through lying, guess what that does? It means I never have to check my own self. If I'm always right, then everyone else that tries to tell me I'm wrong is gaslighting, according to their definition. That's messed up, Cody. And that's the problem with our culture, is we can't look in the, we just talked about man in the mirror for an hour. Nobody's looking in the mirror and starting with themselves in our culture. Nobody.
To go back to the Bible again, I do feel like a lot of people would metaphorically, probably not literally, but would forget what they look like the true selves, if they looked in the mirror and then stepped away from it, because that's how our attention span is. It's like, okay, well, I have this flaw, this flaw, this flaw. Nope. You have these horrific flaws. How dare you? Who do you think you are talking to me like that? Instead of, oh yeah, I mess up too, and maybe I should show grace and humility and love to others.
That's a novel concept.
It is.
But I think Merriam-Webster is right. You know what? They're right. Gaslighting is the term of our time. It's the term of our time because basically we gaslight ourselves. We have fooled ourselves with wild misinformation that comes from our own head.
Oh, yeah.
Into thinking we are always right. That we should never question ourselves. And anyone that tries to point out that we may be wrong is gaslighting us.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they believe something different than I do, not only are they gaslighting me, but they're evil. Nobody can have a differing opinion anymore. It's not just a difference of opinion. It's violence.
For some reason, I don't necessarily know when the shift happened. The opinions became like places that we have to be willing to die on, even if it's something ridiculous like, oh, I thought Kendall Jenner was best with this guy. Or, no, she was best being single. Do yourself, honey, whatever. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a good observation. The amount of hills that we'll die on has increased exponentially.
Oh, yeah. Like, before growing up, so I was born in the late 80s. Most of my memories early on are of the mid-90s on. And, like, you would see people that would make bold claims, but it was usually, like, faith or not having faith at all, and this was the hill that I'm dying on. And, like, that was kind of a big deal. And then it was also, like, about the troops. Like, we got to support the troops or whatever. Those were the only hills people were dying on. Yeah. And then now it is, oh, you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan? You know Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. How dare you?
Everyone has these lines in the sand that they've drawn. And it's just, I'm going to entrench myself in here, and more and more and more. And I thought this would happen when I was much older. I just feel like I'm foreign. Like, Listen, our country, our culture is this wildly polarized place with this conservative, liberal, like just war going on. It's a culture war. And more, like when elections happen, Cody, I don't care. People are like, this is the most important election of your lifetime, Dave. I hope you voted. I mean, I did, but I don't even care. I do not care. And do you know why I don't care, Cody?
Why do you not care?
Because these people are all the same. I don't care because they don't care about you. These politicians don't care about you. Do you know how I know that, Cody?
How do you know?
Because they're us. They're a reflection of us. Where do people think these leaders come from? They're us.
I like to think that they come from a perfect utopia.
Nope. No, they come from our group. They're the best of us, right? They're our leaders. They come from the pool, and this is what we have to offer. A bunch of people who care more about hills to die on rather than other people.
Mm.
And every time somebody comes along with a different perspective or view, well, they're gaslighting. They're gaslighting you. Because it's a driver of disorientation and mistrust. The practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage. Here's the problem. Who gets to decide if someone is giving me a different perspective because it's for their advantage? Who gets to decide that, Cody? Well, I do. If someone presents a different perspective to me, I get to be the one to decide if they're doing it for their own advantage.
Now, I will say that I do think most of the time, whether aware or unaware, we are self-motivated. Like, mm-hmm. most things are for our own good when we're doing it. There are a few exceptions to the rule, like Mother Teresa-esque people that are like, oh, let's help this person. And let's do it for their sake, not for my sake.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we're operating from selfish places. And so, like...
You're gaslighting me right now.
Everyone's I don't gaslighting.
Yeah. We're operating from a place of our own righteousness. We're so convinced of how good we are. And this is why a term like gaslighting blows up. Because people online are using it every time when we're operating from our own self-righteousness, then anyone who tries to say anything different about what I'm already thinking is gaslighting me. And that's what the term has become. So in a way, it's sort of perfect that Merriam-Webster has come up with this broad definition of gaslighting to give you as their word of the year. And in so doing, are actually really gaslighting you. The actual definition. I'm just saying. Just saying. We'll talk about something. All right, Kane, you ready for this?
I am.
Have you ever heard the phrase, time is money?
Yes.
Usually uttered by someone being unkind and trying to make you hurry. Come on now, time is money. Have you ever had that boss?
Yeah.
Time is money. And they're usually trying to get you to hurry and hurry unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I don't do as good a job when I hurry. If you want quality work, don't rush me, mm-hmm. man. Well, this story takes the time is money thing to a whole nother level. And it takes place in Florida because of course it does. I know you're from New Zealand originally, but you spent a lot of time in the States. So surely yeah. you know the legend of Florida.
Enlighten me.
Well, basically if you hear a story that's weird or a person that's weird, it's usually that it's in Florida.
Right.
There's really no explanation for that because Florida's kind of was known as like a retirement mm-hmm. playground for a while. Like yeah. there's a lot of old people in retirement. I think that's kind of shifted to Arizona now. And there's also a lot of immigration mm-hmm. to Florida, like a lot of, Puerto Ricans and some Cubans that go through the process to, yep. to come here. And you just have a lot of Hispanic speaking people in Miami, especially Southern Florida. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any sense because all of those people are like, you know, I find to be usually bright and intelligent people. Yep. And so you hear these stories and it's random, like, okay, what is going on in Florida? Because everyone I know that lives in Florida is pretty smart. Mm. They seem like normal.
Yeah.
And then there's all these stories about people who are clearly not normal. A woman in Florida, they don't even give the name. Oh, no, they do. Amanda Ramirez. She filed a $5 million class action lawsuit against the Kraft Heinz Food Company.
Okay.
Because the time they claim it takes to make a microwavable cup of Velveeta macaroni and cheese is longer than what the claims on the label indicate.
Wow.
$5 million, Kane.
Wow.
Like, there's a lot of things that go through my mind when I pull something out of the microwave and the allotted time they told you to put it in for wasn't enough time. Mm-hmm. There's some things I think. One of them isn't, how dare you give me $5 million?
Yeah. How important do you think your time really is, right? I mean, that extra 30 seconds, it's like, Yeah. It's worth $1,000 an hour.
What kind of time are we talking about here?
Yeah.
How? I mean, I've had those little cups of the mac and cheese that you just put a little water in, you heat them up. And our microwave here at the Fire Escape, I'm just going to tell you, it sucks. Mm-hmm. It's an old microwave.
Yeah.
Almost always takes longer than what the cup says. And I've never once thought, you know, Kane, who's technically one of my bosses here, I'm going to complain to him.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to sue him for this microwave being so weak.
Sounds legit to me, right?
No, I'm already at work. Why do I care?
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Goodness.
I got to stand here at the microwave for another couple minutes and look at my phone while my food is cooking longer.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What? What? Only in America.
Yeah.
This is like when people think of America outside of America, mm-hmm. this is the sort of stuff they think of.
Yep.
She says, it says ready in 3.5 minutes on the outer cup. So it's like not even in the instructions. It says like on the box, mm-hmm. ready in 3.5 minutes. And she says that consumers are misled to expect the product will be ready for consumption in a shorter amount of time than it really takes to prepare. That's what the lawsuit says. Defendants sold more of the product and at higher prices than it would have been in the absence of this misconduct, resulting in additional profits. So she's saying they're falsely advertising so they can sell more?
Yeah.
I have a question, wow. Kane. Are you buying the Velveeta mac and cheese microwavable cups because of how long it says that it takes to cook?
I would say no.
No. Who's buying it for that? Like, well, I'm not buying anything that takes over 3.5 minutes to prepare. Yeah. No, I'm buying it because I dig Velveeta mac and cheese, man. What is wrong with people? Like, if you don't want to wait that long, buy some ramen.
Mm-hmm.
So Amanda Ramirez from Florida has this problem with the makers of the Velveeta microwavable mac and cheese cups. And she says that it says on the box that it prepares in 3.5 minutes. Well, she's got an issue. Because she says this, according to the directions on the back of the packaging, there are 4 steps in preparing the product. First, consumers must remove lid and the cheese sauce pouch. Next, they must add water to the fill line in the cup and stir. Third, microwave uncovered on high for 3.5 minutes. Do not drain. Finally, they should stir in contents of the cheese sauce pouch. Defendant then notes in all caps, cheese sauce will thicken upon standing. So she's saying that consumers seeing the ready in 3.5 minutes will believe it represents the total amount of time it takes to prepare the product. Meaning from the moment it's unopened to the moment it's ready for consumption. But that's not what they mean. They mean it takes 3.5 minutes to cook it, but there's some prep. Mm-hmm. They do. Like, first of all, prep in the lightest version of the word we can like, you're literally talking about, like, yeah, they're, of course they're talking about cooking time. Because I could stand there, if I was really, like, you know, imagine someone who's OCD. Mm. They might stir it longer than you stir it.
Yeah.
Kane.
Yeah.
So their prep time might go up even farther. That's so subjective.
Absolutely.
You don't even have to stir it if you want. You can just eat it. But you might want to stir it.
Yeah.
It would make it better. Yeah. This is so nuts. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? This is what I want to know, because, like, first of all, one, it's ridiculous that she's suing, that she's going through the process mm-hmm. of paying a lawyer for this. Yeah. And it's class action. Like, she's hoping other people jump on board for this.
Yeah.
And there'll be people that do.
Yeah. It's all about money grabbing, right?
Yeah.
It's I might be able to get some money for this, even though I know it's ridiculous.
Yeah. She says that in the suit that the products are sold at a premium price, approximately no less than $10.99 for 8 2.39 ounce cups. And she said that's priced higher than similar products represented in a non-misleading way.
You don't think that it might be priced higher because it's a well-known brand?
Yeah, right? Like, what are the lesser known things? The generics?
Yeah.
They're not wasting, like, this may sound weird to her, but the extra ink they're putting on to put that on their box mm-hmm. costs money. That's why the generics don't have that on their box, because they're just putting a plain box out there. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to grab you with any eye-catching. Because here's the thing. Here's the crazy part. I don't know what she's talking about because I'm not looking at a picture of it. but I'm guessing that the little claim on the box is like highlighted in some way. Mm. And it has less to do with trying to tell you, oh, yeah, it's fast, rather than just something to catch your eye. Mm-hmm. It's just something on the box that was aesthetic.
Yeah. That's right.
It probably has very little to do. They probably, the intent of it had probably had nothing to do other than just, you know, it's like, because everyone knows it's going to be a fast prepared thing. It's microwavable. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
We're nuts. This is insane. I feel like I'm going more crazy now. I think what this situation is showing us, this situation of this lady who's suing Kraft and the makers of the Velveeta shells and cheese microwavable cups, because they put that it took 3.5 minutes to prepare, but that's just the microwave cook time. She says you got to stir it, you got to fill it with water, and then you got to let it sit so it doesn't, like, you know, burn the inside of your mouth. Mm. The nerve of these people.
How dare they?
I think what it shows us is, like, look what she's talking about. Let's add up the other parts of time. So the 3.5 minutes covers the actual microwavable time. Mm-hmm. Let's say that the tearing off of the top, taking out of the box, tearing off the top, removing the cheese sauce pouch, filling it with water. Let's say that takes 60 seconds. That seems way overly generous, yeah, but we're going to go with
okay.
it. 60 seconds to do all that.
Yep.
Another 10 seconds to stir. Mm-hmm. Nobody's stirring that more than 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just water and pasta.
Yeah.
So 70 seconds. A minute and 10 seconds. And then let's say that when you take it out, you stir it for another 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So you're at a minute and 20 seconds. And let's say you have to let it sit 2 minutes mm-hmm. before you can feasibly eat it at a safe temperature. So what we're talking about is 3.5 minutes. So you're doubling the time of the cook. Mm-hmm. How sad is it that we have to sit here and realize that we're stressing out over 3.5 minutes? And that not only that we're stressing out about it, but we live in a culture that deems that it might be worth money. Like, because I got news for you. This is what's going to happen. I already know what's going to happen. This won't go to court.
Yeah.
They'll pay her off because it's cheaper for them to do that than to pay their lawyers. Mm-hmm. So they'll just pay her off. And that's what spawns all of this behavior anyways. Now, does she really believe in this? Maybe there's some crazy people out there. And look, I'm not trying to be mean to her, but this is, if she really is inconvenienced because of those extra 3.5 minutes, then that's nuts. Mm-hmm. And what I would invite everyone to do is, like, if you want to do something for yourself, you really want to do something for yourself, slow down. Mm. Slow down.
Yep.
I don't know if any of you have experienced death of someone close to you recently, but it's a great reminder that that's what's coming for all of us, and we don't know when. Mm. Your time is always literally running out. Mm-hmm. Slow down. Quit being in such a hurry to do whatever it is you need to do. Like, what was she going to do with that 3.5 minutes? Write an email?
Yeah.
For work? You know, like, I get it. I know companies make money and that's all predicated on time. Time is money after all, Kane. But you know what else time is? Irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. Irreplaceable.
Yep.
Time's important. It's valuable. It's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. And, you know, waiting for your food to cool down.
Yeah.
Like, you could call your mom
yeah.
in that time. There's a lot of things you could do at that time
that's right.
that are way more valuable. Don't sue for $5 million. Sue for more time with your mom.
Yeah.
Or your grandma or whoever you haven't talked to. Right? Like, it's just yeah. nuts. This is, our value systems are just all out of whack.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You have any final thoughts on that?
No, I think you've summed it up pretty well.
I'm sorry, I kind of dominated that discussion. That's
totally, like, I agree. It's just nuts, right? It's this whole thing about money grabbing and the companies, like, going for a settlement. So, hey, it's free money. It's something that I can possibly take that isn't going to cost me anything.
I'm just saying, I'd wait 10 minutes for a delicious, creamy bowl of Velveeta shells and cheese.
Yeah.
And they didn't give me any money to say that. I just like it. And I'd wait for a long time for it. Hey, everybody, Dave here. What you have just listened to are bits and pieces of our radio show. We have a radio show on KFEX Firescape Radio located in Chanute, Kansas. You can hear that show from noon to four every weekday. So if you want to tune into that, you can go to www.kfex931.com or you can search KFEX in your app store on your smartphone and find their totally free app there. If you're a fan of Christian music, you might like to listen to our live show at when you're at work or if you're a stay-at-home mom and you like music in the house, you may love to listen to that during the day, so give it a try. We would also direct you to our podcast, Pop Culture Pastor. That's probably why you're listening anyways to this version of what we do. As always, subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on our social medias on Facebook and Twitter. It helps us out when you share it, when you review and rate us on our podcast homes. And of course, follow us on social media and share our stuff there. So thank you so much for listening. We love all of you guys so much. We have such a great community of listeners. And we'll see you when the regular pod drops on Friday.